And why else would we do the annual holiday potty at the same place for the last 15 years? It does, because it doesn't get any better, right?
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyhow, I feel really bad that all of our listening audience wasn't able to join us. Of course, they weren't invited. But, you know, what's the word vicarious? I don't know what vicarious. Maybe vicariously they can sort of be with us on the potty. Huh? What'd you say? Yeah, maybe vicariously they can be with us on the pod. We're going to have some guests on the radio station today who are with us, and some of our guests are very interesting, and some of them are very boring. And you'll just have to decide who's who. But let's start the show officially, okay?
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
It sounds a little distorted, is it? Is the volume up too, or is that just me? Is that just my ears?
It sounds a little distorted over here, too.
Yeah, but we bring it down a little bit, maybe it'll be a little better. I don't know if we have problems with it. Equipment or what. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number one of the Saturday special for December 2nd, 2006, soon to be 2007. We hope you'll stay with us for a fun 2 hours.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, now do we have a special opening? No? That's all we have? Let's put something on. Saturday special, crosstalk. Anything. Good. Can you hear? Yeah, you can hear. Okay, tap on the mic. And good. Who is this voice?
This is me. This is Judy.
Judy, we've been hearing recordings of you for years. I haven't heard you. Well, actually, you called the program a week or two ago, right?
A couple of weeks, yeah. Last week and the week before.
Yeah, but you didn't sound as rich as you do now because you were on the telephone from Hawaii, where you are a current resident.
Yes, it's a long way.
Yeah.
Aloha.
It's Judy DeVilbiss, ladies and gentlemen. And Judy flew in for a couple of reasons to be with us at the corporate party and to do a program on coming up on the 6th of December,
mm-hmm.
And that will be Wednesday. And what's that program going to be all about?
Well, it's a business health meeting.
Uh-huh.
So if you're interested in hearing something about your health, or perhaps you want to make a few bucks, you might well bring your body over there and have a listen.
Right. And where is it going to be?
It's at China One Buffet, and I believe that's on
Water Street and Market. Yeah, and Market, and Santa Cruz. That's good. So anyhow, boy, you lived here in the Central Coast for a long time. Yeah, and you moved to Hawaii. When was it? About a year.
October the 27th, uh-huh. Last year.
Right.
Yes. So I've been there over a year now.
Uh huh. And it's a little warmer than here, huh?
Oh, it's much warmer than here, yes. I had to bring out all my cozy clothes and my Snuggies to be able to stand the weather here. And ice on the car window this morning?
Uh-huh.
That was a real scary thing for me.
I know. It's just you're so used to being warm all the time, huh?
Warm in your little thongs and your little T-shirt. And that's it. That's all you need.
Uh-huh. And
excuse me just a second here. Okay, so maybe Mr. Logic will come in. And come on in, Mr. Logic. We want to interview you because he's another voice that hasn't been on the radio for a long time.
There you go. We need to hear those people.
Right. Okay, now, Mr. Logic. I want to talk about the high. Sit down and make yourself comfortable, please. Mr. Logic, king of the thinking machine, radio program here that ran on KSCO for how many years? God, I'm
Well, it started in, I guess you would say, 1992.
Yeah.
So it's been about 14 years ago it made its debut.
Uh-huh. And what happened to it?
It's kind of still there, waiting in the wings.
Okay. Now, this is good. You used to do puzzles and brain teasers and you know, things to demonstrate that you have a brain or something, right?
Yeah, sometimes for some listeners it was more difficult than others, but generally speaking it was for puzzles, talking about technology, mathematics, whatever.
Well, here's what happened to that program, okay, from my memory. You moved away.
Yeah.
So why did you move? I mean, everybody's moving away from Santa Cruz. Why? I mean, Judy moved away, you're moving away. I wouldn't think of moving away.
Well, you haven't heard, huh?
What?
The rumor?
What?
Ooh.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
What? Is there something wrong with this place?
Yeah, prices are too high.
Oh. I see. Okay. Yeah, well, I have a theory about the reason why prices are too high, okay? And, you know, that might be a topic to tweak some people here. Driving into the radio station, there was a traffic jam. And here it's not the weekend, Saturday. I mean, it is the weekend. It's not the weekday. It's not when you would expect it to be, you know, bumper to bumper traffic. But instead, it was like gridlock. It was awful. And it made me think about how in the 70s, when money was available from the state to widen the road that everybody wants widened now, and it is actually being widened in like a 2 or 3 year project that's not going to widen it very far. I mean, there was money available in the 70s that would have widened all of Highway 17 and all of Highway 1. And the people who were in charge of this place back then said, oh no, that'll induce growth. We can't allow that. So they said thanks but no thanks to the state. And the money was used elsewhere. Now the money is dissolved. It's gone away now. And now, because they thought that turning away the money and saying thanks but no thanks to the widening of the highways would discourage growth. Has the growth been discouraged? No, the growth hasn't been discouraged at all. In fact, it's been just the opposite. People want to live here, and they're willing to pay the prices. And all it does is make the prices of the existing properties go up and up and up faster than they would normally. Do you disagree with that? Does anybody? You're the superior intellect, Mr. Lodgen. I mean, is there
anything wrong? No, I don't disagree with that. I think it's totally on target.
Right.
And I don't know why that is, but I think it was probably a big mistake back in 70 to go ahead and ignore such a great offer.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happened because people don't like growth. Growth wrecks a place in most people. Now, you don't care for growth either. I mean, you don't want more people coming and wrecking a place.
No, not once.
I don't want more people coming and wrecking the place, but it doesn't stop. People are not. You can't stop them. If they want to come and live here because of the climate and because of
nothing
the funkiness
stops
and because of the weirdness and because of, you know, whatever, nothing is going to stop them. So why do you want to keep them from coming? And you're not going to keep them from coming. All you're going to do is make it more miserable for the people who are here.
Well, you're not going
to. You haven't thought of that?
There's a limit to how much you can increase the population because you're bounded by the ocean on one side and the mountains on the other side. So
exactly.
You have this little strip of land and you can only build so much. And so you're not going to be able to infinitely increase your population.
Uh-huh.
So prices are just going to go up to meet supply and demand.
That's right.
Right.
Same old rule.
Well, you cannot artificially control the demand for something. All you can do is artificially control the supply. And when you do that, the certain effect is going to be guaranteed rising housing prices and rents. Absolutely, positively, that's a fact of life. It's an economic fact of life. And I would love for somebody who's listening to call in and challenge that assertion. 479-1080 or mz@ksco.com. 479-1080 or mz@ksco.com. Let's see if growth can actually be discouraged effectively. The only way to discourage growth effectively, I guess, is to make it so unpleasant around here. Maybe that's the idea. Maybe that was the idea.
Well, that becomes a self-fulfilling thing. I mean, that's whenever you have any limitation to how something can grow, eventually it will become unpleasant if you get too big of a population.
Yep.
Right.
And then it kind of levels off at that point.
Well, so maybe that's what's happening. I mean, Judy left and Mr. Logic left. Come on in, JSO. Get comfortable. I mean, is that... So I guess that's probably exactly what's happening. But you didn't leave, Judy, because the prices were too expensive. You already owned a house here, you know. You left for a different reason. You wanted to be closer to your family.
Yeah, there, so. Exactly.
Right.
My family left, so I followed. But, yeah, this is a wonderful place to live.
Mr. Logic, is that why you left?
Well, I originally left. I sold my house because I wanted to travel around the country, and I got an RV, and I did that for a number of years. And when I finally finished doing that, the prices had gone so high that I couldn't buy my house back. So I had to go somewhere else.
And you had wanted to buy your house back?
Well, I mean,
was that
literally
the plan or a similar house?
Well, I thought I'd probably buy a similar house, yeah. But unfortunately, the prices were prohibitive after that period. So I had to go somewhere where the prices were at that time less, which are actually increasing now up there as well.
Uh-huh.
So I guess you can't win. I mean, if you don't own a house now, you're probably going to have a tough time anywhere.
Well, people die and they leave their houses.
You can inherit your
down payment or inherit your property or whatever, right?
But then you sort of own it because you're in the family, for example. So you're partial owner now. But
everybody who was born has some sort of family, right? I mean. So, in the 70s, I figured there's no way in the world I was ever going to be able to afford to buy a house, even back then when prices started going crazy in 1975 through 1979. They went absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Nutso. And it happened in the second half of every decade subsequent to that. Exactly the same thing happened. There was little recession at the beginning of the of each decade. And then come about the mid-decade, things sort of turned around and started building, you know, and it built up to a crescendo at the end of the decade. And every time, for every decade since the 1970s that I've paid attention, I think this even happened in the 60s, but I wasn't paying attention then. I wasn't in the market, you know. But every decade since the 70s, and including the 90s, obviously, this is exactly what happened. The second half of the decade, there was a huge run-up of real estate prices.
Is that just here or everywhere?
Here where I don't know about everywhere, but around me, that's been what's happened. And I have this theory that's just the way it is. And I don't know, maybe this will be the decade where it's the reverse. we'll find out.
Well, if it is, then everybody that wants to come back better get back here quickly and grab something.
Yes, exactly.
Because it will definitely go back up.
You think so?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Why?
Well, because of the supply and demand.
Okay, because the fact of the matter is it's still a good place to live.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Okay. All right. So, so we're not going to solve this thing. I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, there's just... Come on, Mr. Logic, help us out here. I mean...
I'm a real estate... I know nothing about real... You know more than I do. You used to be an agent, or you still are.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, no more. No more. Anyhow, you're listening to the Saturday Special on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. Mr. Logic, a.k.a. Bob Bishop... Are you doing a podcast of the Thinking Machine? Are you doing anything?
I'm doing some things on the internet with Skype. They have something called Skype casting, and I've been doing a series of Skype casts which were similar to the Thinking Machine, except I don't give away pizzas anymore because my listeners are all over the world, so it's hard to give prizes.
You could mail them.
Well, I guess we could. We'd be kind of stale by the time we got there.
Mr. Logic, listen, you're a smart guy. Why don't you come up with why don't you devise a method to fax them? To fax slices of pizza.
Yeah, teleport them, right.
Teleport them or scan them.
Mm-hmm.
Or scan them.
Yeah,
email
yes.
them.
You can win a
scan
picture
them
of
and
yeah.
email them. Why
or
not?
Copy and paste.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why can't we do that? I'm serious. Do you think the day will come? Who would have ever believed that technology would enable us to be able to do what we do now? With anything, with email. I mean, emailing, you know, music and things like that, and videos.
Yeah.
And Who would have ever believed any of that would be possible?
Well, I mean, basically it's electronics, and that's been around for a while. It's just a matter of implementing it. So that wouldn't be as far out. That's at least that's would be understandable. If you were to go back to 1950 or whatever and talk to somebody about email, you could pretty well explain the concept in terms that a 1950 person would understand because it's electricity. But teleportation, that would require some brand new technology that we don't even have yet.
There would have to be a way to A to D and D to A, a human being.
Well,
probably, right?
I wasn't even thinking of a human being. I was just thinking of teleporting a rock. Even doing that would be, a human being
would
be worse.
Well, if you could teleport a rock, you should be able to teleport a human being.
Well, the question is life teleportable? I mean, a rock, you might be able to teleport material, elements, but whether life would end up coming out the other end as well, that's a big question.
Oh.
You might end up with the body.
I don't want to be the guinea pig, though.
Yeah. Well, no, wait a minute. I mean, let's talk about this. I mean, I always tell people, when someone calls me and I have a cold, or if I'm sick here at the radio station, I like to warn the audience so that they don't get too close to the radio, because I don't want them to catch whatever I have. It's just common decency.
Absolutely.
Right. Right, and someone said to me once, they said, that's absurd. You can't catch a cold from someone over the telephone or over the radio. And I said, why not? You hear a person's voice that you can recognize over the radio. So why can't germs be transmitted over the air?
Well, that would be teleportation, right?
Right.
And I'm not sure how you would do that to begin with, if it's even doable. I mean, it might, in principle, be doable to, like I said, teleport a rock if you someday developed a way of scanning the rock in three dimensions and constructing the atomic structure that would be necessary to reconstruct it, given a pool of elements at the receiving end.
Uh-huh.
You could then theoretically put them together to make the rock. That might be doable. I don't know how with current technology, but someday it could be doable. But whether a germ could be transmitted or any living entity, that's a big question. It has to do, I think, with the not just transmitting the molecular structure, but transmitting the state, the energy states of the object. For example, if you were to teleport an atom of hydrogen, just a simple atom, but the atom was in an excited state, so the electrons were pumped up, would the electrons come out pumped up on the other side, or would you just get the raw atom? I don't know. I mean, it's speculation, so I don't know.
Well, I would want them to come out pumped.
You'd
out.
Want them to, yeah, but would they? Would it lose that information?
Well, they've done amazing things with bandwidth, so why can't they just...
Well,
look, I mean,
someday.
We might be right. I mean, like, 1,000 years from now? Huh? No. What do you think? We have another person in the studio. Pull the microphone down, John Selton, please. Okay. And I'll crank you up here. This is John Selton Ogle, who's always wanted to own a radio station. Because he's had something that he wants to share.
You ask my opinion. I think in 1,000 years, we can't predict. I have no idea what direction it's going.
Okay, well, I think that amazing things that mm-hmm. we just can't even fathom.
Yeah.
You know, about taking molecules apart, from...
Yeah. But as Dr. Logic says, you're not teleporting an object. You are recreating it. In other words, you start with a package of materials at the other end, and then it's like doing a... making a model. You recreate what you're trying to copy. In other words, you're not getting rid of the person at this end... to create one at the other end. You're just creating another person, which is what we do with fax machines.
Yes.
Why can't we just learn to fax pizzas and people?
But you're recreating new people.
Yeah, would the person who came out the other end, what would happen if he met the guy who was transmitted? So you have two of them, identical, and they meet each other. And which one's the real person? Which one would be the real you if you were to partake in this experiment?
I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know. So, anyhow, John Sultan, you have a theory that you wanted to share. We were talking about this over breakfast.
Oh, the reason you wanted to have a radio station is because...
Oh, well, because I think there is a big gap in our attitude toward the Iraq war. But isn't that a jump?
Yeah.
It's a
big jump. Okay. It's a big jump, but it's okay.
My idea is that we won the war, and we have completely failed to utilize the success of our troops.
Excuse me. When did we win the war? What action?
We won the war by sending troops in there and taking over the ground.
And getting Saddam and so forth, right?
Well, he's pretty unimportant. But the whole idea is what we're supposed to be good at is advertising. And we have completely dropped the ball. Now, what we've suckered into the idea that we promote of freedom of speech. And when you win a war, you can't have freedom of speech. You've got to indoctrinate people. Advertising is the word, and the prime example, the name is Joseph Goebbels. In other words, in advertising, you have to convince the people that you've won the war. And you have to convince them of a bunch of other things. For example, you have to convince them that if they are Sunnis and they kill Shiites, they're also killing Sunnis. And if they are Sunni or Shiites and they kill Sunnis, they're also killing Shiites. And you have to convince them that Mohammed did not want people to go around killing other Mohammedans just because of slight secular differences, and that the reason that the religious leaders are doing this, religious Muslim leaders, are for personal power. And what gives you more power than having the capability and the right to kill people? And so, in my view, you have to present the idea in all the media that the religious leaders that recommend or control the murder of other people are not good people. They are evil.
Right. That shouldn't be hard.
Well, we haven't been doing it.
Okay, now you say we. We who?
We, the winners, the people who won the war. In other words, we should be taking over all of the media and presenting this idea that killing people is not good, even if they have secular differences. So...
The phone's ringing. That's what I'm trying to say.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
The phone's ringing.
And he's talking about in Iraq.
Right.
That's where we need to be doing our advertising and convincing.
Yeah. Since we won the war, there is always a certain period after you win a war where you're not pushing freedom of speech. We didn't push freedom of speech in Germany after we won there. And it's good for Germany that we didn't. Now it's good that they have freedom of speech.
Are you saying that in wartime, freedom of speech should be disbanded?
Well, the freedom of speech is the freedom of the people who won.
I mean, in a wartime, I mean, if you had just freedom of speech generic, I mean, then we would have no military secrets or anything. Everything would just be open to the enemy and whatever. So freedom of speech has to be taken with a grain of salt. Depending on the circumstances.
What do you mean, taken with a grain of salt?
Well,
it's the most important
just...
thing that's to our cult, to our society.
To our culture.
To our culture and society, right. But our way of life.
Yeah, but even our way of life, there are still things the government doesn't tell us. I mean, they can't. I mean, it would be foolish for them to reveal all the top secrets that
This is what Kay says periodically in her commentaries. Okay, and she makes an awful lot of sense. I think that's what you're saying, too.
Well, so, I think it has to be temporary.
Yeah.
But...
Well, who decides how long?
The winner.
Who decides how temporary?
Well...
I mean, in this case, George Bush?
No, George Bush is going to be gone by the time it's time to make the transition. But we certainly should not be allowing people to, in public, recommend killing other people by blowing them up.
All right. We've got some callers on the line already. Let's bring in Gene and Salinas on the KSCO. Welcome, Gene. You're on the Saturday special at AM 1080 KSCO.
Hi, MZ. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I just turned on the radio just a matter of a couple of minutes ago, and I agree with this gentleman. 1,000,000%.
Wow.
All right.
God, you're a hit already, JSO.
Well, let me
Don Selton Ogle. And remember the last name. The last name might be a little familiar to you, because those of you who've listened to the Saturday special have heard Frau Ogle. This is Frau Ogle's beau. Yeah, this is Mr. Ogle. This is Sir Ogle.
Hello, Mr. Ogle.
Hello.
As one of the survivors of the 16 million who went through WWW2, I agree with you 1,000,000%.
Uh-huh. Well,
because that's what we did in Japan.
Right.
That's what we did in Germany.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what Goebbels did.
Right.
And that's what Tojo did.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to be in China, Burma, and India. And that's what we did in China after the thing, except we let Mao become equal to Chiang Kai-shek.
I still understand. I don't quite understand what you guys obviously understand each other. I'm sort of still in the dark on this. We haven't done a good job of advertising that the radio. What haven't we advertised properly?
We haven't even controlled advertising.
You live in Santa Cruz County, and you don't comprehend what he and I are talking about, man.
No.
It's a propaganda game.
Do you understand it, Judy?
Well, yes, because he's talking about in Iraq. He's talking about where the war is.
Okay.
Not our country.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. Not in our country.
We have people.
So we haven't taken charge of the media over there, and as we should be able to do very easily, because of
our media
who we are and what we've done
to us. What we should be doing to them over there.
I gotcha. Now I understand. Okay, Gene, forgive me, okay? I'm just a little dense.
Listen, when you've lived for eternity, you understand these people who talk what happened 60 years ago.
So you got to be, what, 85?
Oh, God, don't put me up to 85 yet. I'm in the 80 range.
Okay.
That's a good range.
And one thing there, in those days, we were just finishing high school, and I would not volunteer because I knew I was going to be drafted. And we sat in our classes, and we studied modern European history. So what this gentleman is talking about, I lived it in high school.
Well, this is good. So, John Selton, when did this hit you? Just has it been burning inside you for a long time, and you've wanted to be able to say it?
Who's this?
John Selton is the gentleman who came forth with this thing.
He's my kind of guy.
Yeah.
What more can I say?
Okay.
Because I can't pat him on the back. I can't shake his hand.
Well, Mr. Yeah. Logic, I wish you would figure out a way so that Gene could do that.
Okay.
Okay, listen, thank you.
I'll do it for you, Gene.
Listen, you're right on the money, okay?
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
I don't care what anybody does. If the president had enough tamales.
Cojones.
To understand.
This, also known as balls.
And he would wake up the American public, and eventually the good guys would understand, and we would have a solution for over there.
But the word has to get out.
You understand? I have been over there. I know these people. I know how they think, okay?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay.
The advertising has to go to Iraq.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now that's clear. Okay,
good.
Fine. Gene, thank you for your call.
Listen. MZ,
yeah.
We'll see you later.
Bless you.
And the gentleman I may never meet, but wonderful.
Okay, he's a wonderful gentleman. See, and he knows. He knows all about wonderful gentlemen. Now, here's someone who might not agree with you. Billy in Capitola, you're on.
Aloha.
Hey.
Aloha, Billy.
Welcome back to the mainland, Judy.
Hey, thank you.
Great. So, on free speech and on Iraq. Iraqis don't need free speech. It's not something they're used to having, and they don't need it. We, however, need it desperately. Newt the other day did a speech where he talked about, we might need to, you know, cut back on free speech here while we're in this war. We don't need free speech during a war. On that, I couldn't disagree more. Newt is really, by the way, sounding like an incredibly dangerous jerk. He said something to the effect of, you know, basically, I don't necessarily want to run, but maybe you'll insist that I take over the presidency. Well, Newt, we won't do it if it's free speech that you think needs to go away. Theodore Roosevelt said that in times of war, not to criticize the president is tantamount to treason. As far as how we get out of Iraq, it's pretty simple. We need to have what I call the blitz leave, or the shock and awe leaving. And by that I mean we leave tomorrow as fast as we can, and we do one thing on the way out. We kill the biggest pain in the neck on both sides. We find whoever is the biggest Shiite leader who stands in the way of peace there, and the biggest Sunni leader who stands in the way of the peace there. By the way, the Kurds are no problem at all. And we kill them for the Iraqis before we go. But we get the hell out so fast their heads spin, and then they have to deal with each other without knowing that we were going to do it or planning for it. What do you think?
John Selton, what do you think?
I don't think that's the right solution, because there are always 2% of the population who wants to control the rest. If you kill two people or five people or 10 people, that's not going to do the job. There are still people who are power hungry. And in the situation in Iraq, you exert your power by causing suicide bombers to kill innocent people. And what you have to do is you have to convince them with advertising or propaganda, prefer, that that is not a good thing for you, for your country, for your sect, for anything. And so it's the advertising that has to...
Here's what you don't understand. The real advertising that matters in Iraq is what goes on in the mosque. So that certain leaders, certain religious leaders who are also, want violence, if they are removed, there's a certain confusion. There is no other leader to step in immediately. And it is during that confusion that peace would have a chance.
I am a little skeptical.
Well, of course you are, but...
there are always 2% who will take over the power lust.
Well, absolutely true. There's always somebody who would achieve power in that fashion. And that's one of the reasons why we need to get out of the way, because, like the discussion of free speech, it's not a value of people there. And the fact is that those people there have very few values. For example, of interest to people like MZ and myself, they're incredibly anti-Semitic. Presently, the guy who's in charge of the assembly there claims that all the problem is really from the Jews. The Jews are paying and causing these militias to strike each other. Well, you know, we don't need to spend another life, not another dime, not another human, not another American should die for those a-holes.
I think we have to convert them from being a-holes. And it's not the two percent that are saying this. We have to convince the 98%. And if we convince the 98%, these a-holes will no longer have any power.
How long would it take Christians in America to be to give it up and become atheists like they should? Well, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. And those people over there are crazier than our Christians. I don't care how long you stay over there or what advertising you do. You can't affect a Muslim who's reading the Quran every day. You're nuts.
The Quran does not tell you to do suicide bombing of other Muslims.
That's exactly what it tells you to do.
It does not.
Sure it does. It tells you to interpret the Quran in such a way that if people don't buy into your brand of religion, you're entitled to kill them. That's why Amanajah just sent that letter to us. The letter to America.
I can't argue with you.
The letter to America is what is required by a Muslim before they kill an and innocent. You actually offer them the chance to become a Muslim, and then when they don't do it, then you can kill them. These people are not people you can reason with, and all the advertising in the world
you
will
can.
Not affect them.
The 98% are reasonable. It's
no,
the 2% that's not reasonable.
98%. These are very religious people. You don't affect a person's religion. You don't say, hey, you want to spend eternity in hell because I wrote a good ad? Is that what you're going to get? Are you going to get somebody who is against abortion in America to start being willing to kill babies and spend eternity in hell because you wrote a good ad?
Are you trying to tell me that...
That religion trumps advertising.
It is only the 2% that say you have to kill in order to satisfy a religious obligation.
You're so wrong.
98% of the people don't believe you have to kill to satisfy your religious obligation.
According to a poll just run 2 weeks ago in Iraq, 70% of the people there want us dead. 70%. You keep talking 2%.
Yeah, I think it probably would have been true of a lot of Germans, too, that didn't want us, that wanted us dead. A lot of the people in Nagasaki and Hiroshima wanted us dead. That makes no difference to the final result. What you have to do is you have to take away freedom of speech, inculcate the ideas of reasonable ideas to the 98% of the population, and then keep the 2% underground.
If you shut down the mosques, you can get that control you're talking about.
We may have to do that.
That is more powerful by 100-fold than anything you could put in a newspaper, a television, or a radio.
No,
it is the mosques that create the trouble here. By the way, and it's here in America, and this is where I agree with Mom, Michael. In America, we should have a listening device in every mosque.
In every mosque?
In every mosque.
In every mosque is what you said.
And if anyone has converted to Islam in the past 5 years, they should be implanted with a chip. They can't be trusted.
Mr. Logic, who's correct on this? John Selton or John Selton Ogle or Billy Sunshine?
Who's closer to correct? Ask them that one.
Well, as I've been talking about on my Skype cast recently, when I've been talking about fuzzy logic again, this idea of who is correct and who is not, who is A and who is not
exactly.
A, there are arguments on both sides,
I guess. Who's closer to correct, Mr. Logic?
Boy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll let Michael make that choice.
There's my friend.
Oh. Well, what about Judy?
Well, the idea has worked in past history.
What idea?
The idea of doing as John is suggesting.
Don't you feel foolish, Billy Sunshine?
No, they just talked about it in Japan. They did it in Germany.
And places where religion wasn't the problem. When you're talking about people who are this foolish about their religion, this crazy, these people get in the streets and they beat each other themselves with chains. They go in and they have the kind of meetings where thousands will get trampled, and they don't care. Their religion means that much to them. Religion makes people crazy. It's done it here in America, and we don't even have it as bad as they do. Christianity is only half as sick as Islam.
Well, I mean, maybe now, but...
You're not saying kind things about the Christians, Billy.
Well, you know, they are fools. They don't understand the nature of the universe. Let me ask you this. If there's any Christians there, I understand Jesus is coming back. Where's he been all this time? Exactly. I didn't think anybody could tell me that. Exactly. A bunch of fools. Christians are fools.
All right.
I thought he was in Arizona.
In retirement.
Yeah. All right. You know what we need to do at 44 minutes past 10 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO? We have to take a commercial break or we won't be here much longer.
Sell something,
Mike. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, thanks for your call, Bill. Good to hear from you. Take care. There goes Billy Sunshine. And here comes a commercial break.
A Real Life Santa's Workshop is coming to the Hallmark Charter School on Morrow Road next to the library in Prunedale, starting at 10 o'clock Saturday, December 2nd. While grown-ups stay busy at crafts and big rummage sale, the kids make gifts for everyone. Saturday morning, Hallmark Charter School on Morrow Road next to the library in Prunedale. 10 o'clock December 2nd, Hallmark Charter School in Prunedale. Hallmark Charter School in Prunedale.
Buongiorno, property owners. When you need to clean up your property, call on the professionals at Coyote Industrial Cleaning. I'm Bob Farmer, but my friends call me Mr. Clean because I'm the one that cleans up downtown Santa Cruz. When you need to clean up your sidewalks, patios, driveways, pool areas, decks, buildings, and carpets, give us a ring at Coyote Industrial Cleaning, 429-5521. That's 429-5521. Or at Bob Farmer in the Santa Cruz White Pages.
Imagine a window that cleans itself. Hi, I'm Gina from Airtight Vinyl Siding and Windows with an invitation for you to come to our Customer Appreciation Day this Saturday, December 2nd from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come see for yourself how the all-new SunClean windows can brighten your home in ways you only dreamed of. Come register to win $2,500 in Airtight installed home improvements. Have us out to your home for a free estimate and get two chances to win. Visit Airtight this Saturday, 11 a to 3 p 2601 Chanticleer Avenue, Santa Cruz.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Santa is coming to your favorite hardware and garden stores. Scarborough has become Santa's workshop, and he joins the fun this Saturday. Santa's first stop is noon until 2 at Scarborough Gardens and Hidden Treasures Gift Shop at 33 El Pueblo. Next, he'll be at Scarborough Ace Hardware in the Kings Village Center from 3 until 5 p.m. Come to either location in Scotts Valley for free refreshments and photos with Santa. And for Christmas ideas, come to Scarborough Gardens on El Pueblo and Scarborough Ace Hardware in the Kings Village Center, Scotts Valley, or the Scarborough Home Center on Highway 9 in Ben Lomond. From decorations to hardware, lights to trees, these Scarborough stores have it all for the holidays. And don't forget Santa. This Saturday at Scarborough Gardens Hidden Treasures and Scarborough Ace Hardware in Scotts Valley.
Scarborough Lumber and Building Supply.
Hi, it's me, Sophie Winnick. I know we're all busy this time of year, but I think we should all just take a breath, slow down, and remember that simple things can make a big difference for your health. Remember, we all need our longevity minerals. So a few friends and I are getting together at White Law Chiropractic and Wellness Center in Aptos on Wednesday, November 29th, 7 to 8 p.m. You should come. Nothing complicated or fussy, like you need that this time of year. Just back to basics information about longevity supplements, so maybe we can all get through the holidays healthier and less stressed. Of course, I'll bring treats. So, we'll see you at White Law Chiropractic and Wellness Center in Aptos, next to the Taco Bell, on Wednesday, November 29th, 7 to 8 p.m. Call me, Sophie, at 335-3216. That's 335-3216 for more information, and I'll see you there.
Back to hour number one of the Saturday special. It's MZ with special guest John Selton Ogle in the studio. Mr. Logic is here. Judy DeVilbiss is here. Frau Ogle is in the background here. She's being unanimous today. Maybe we can get her on a little later. And someone is calling the radio station. Who is it? Hello?
Is this KSEO?
It sure is. Who's this?
This is Asa.
Asa!
Good morning.
How are you, Asa?
Well,
what are you calling about today?
Well, I just wanted one little quote for Billy Sunshine. First of all, I would like to ask the question. Nobody, that does not require an answer. Who sounds and acts more like the people screaming in the streets? Your guest or Billy Sunshine? That is a sound. And the other one is, if he's worried about Jesus not being here, he might well worry, but Jesus did leave us with a word, which was, do not cast your pearls before swine. So I think you have your A's and you have your S's. And Billy Sunshine is definitely in the S category. That's all I've got to say. Anyway.
Well, we thank you for saying
what?
It on KSCO.
What?
We thank you for saying it on KSCO.
Well, I had to do something to counter your that. Performance.
Well,
of
listen,
Billy Sunshine.
I expected the phones to light up, and obviously nobody's listening today because the phones, few people are listening today because the phones did not light up when he insulted the Christians.
Well,
you know?
I think the Christians are used to being insulted.
Not on this station.
Well, every time that man opens his mouth, he shows the possibility of having a true discussion with someone who is not open to a true discussion.
Okay, who's this on line two?
Hi, it's Ozzy Phil.
Who?
Ozzy Phil.
Oh, hi, Ozzy Phil. How are you?
Great. It's an interesting program, and, you know, you can go round and round in this for hours, but I just want to make a comment that we're still in Germany. We're still in Korea 50 years down the line, and it took 7 years before we allowed Japan to take over their own government. And, you know, 1,000 American GIs were shot by snipers in the first year after the World War officially ended, didn't it? And we have this problem here today that if MacArthur had been allowed to do what he wanted to do in Korea, we wouldn't have any Kim Jong-il or nukes. And if this and if that and if Jimmy Carter, you know, we can go through the ifs and what should have been. But we have a problem to face now that the world has a far more serious situation.
I don't know.
With Ahmadinejad and Iran and Syria.
I guess not.
Protagonist than what we ever had during the Nazi threat in the 30s.
All right. Did you want to direct that comment to any, just to our audience in general, or to John Selton, or?
Yeah, to John.
Okay, go, John.
Yeah. There's certain merit to everything you say. Is there anything in particular you wanted to push?
No, I just say I don't see a solution in Iraq simply because it's not a real country. It's three different tribes of people, the Kurds, who are entitled to their land more than anybody else, especially with Turkey and Iraq, the way they've been treated. Kurdistan is more entitled to a nation than Iraq was. And thanks to the British and the French dividing up the sand and giving Hashemite tribes lands they weren't entitled to 90-odd years ago, we wouldn't have this problem today. But the solution is not to have one country. It's divided into three separate tribal groups because it's not really a country.
Yeah, that's certainly true. But on the other hand, you can have different groups living in one country.
Not if they don't ever want to have peace between them or recognize the other people. And you're talking about a religious, spiritual war. You're not talking about a war like it was. I know Shintoism was strongly responsible for Japan being their situation and their atrocities, which have never been really justifiable since. There's never been any real settlement of. We've overlooked a lot of these things, and because of our nature, because America's heritage, Judeo-Christian foundation, we have been magnanimous in supplying these people with billions of dollars.
Okay, let me give a response to what you're saying. There is a tendency going in the opposite direction. The European community is combining a whole bunch of different cultures, languages into one country. It's going to be a country. The European community.
I don't agree. I think it's going to collapse. But I really believe there's a few strong nations amongst it. But there are problems. There are big problems. And I think it's foolish to think that the euro is worth more than the U.S. dollar. But this has been deliberately manipulated.
Well, that's a joke.
You know, China's got trillions of American dollars out there. We're in trouble. It's all coming to the same purpose. And the anti-American feeling... it's more of a spiritual one than a national one.
Wow. well, that's an interesting topic to ponder.
I'm a Messianic believer in Jesus, and I believe that as Yeshua, as Jesus is really known. I'm telling you another thing. The Christian church is getting shaken up out of its foundations because it's left its foundations. They've cut off the tree and stuck the Christmas tree inside, and the roots are blossoming again because of the Jewish foundation. The true church fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the anti-Semitic leaders that caused a lot of the destruction of one another and of the Jews over the centuries. We have a situation today where God is in control, and he's turning things upside down the way that really should be, the way it began with all Jewish people believing in a Jewish Messiah, and the Gentiles were grafted into that root. The root belongs, the olive tree is Israel. And this is why the warfare, if you look at the map, it's not about land. Israel is a tiny sliver of land. There's about 1,000 times the amount of Israel around the enemy territory. They all want to destroy them. And that's what it's all about. The same thing in Iraq, except that they're fighting amongst each other because they're foolish. They're just deceived. Poor people, like Islam is a cult. It's not a religion. It's a false cult, a false god, and a false prophet.
Right.
And that's why you've got all the destruction. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus promised abundant life in this life, as well as eternal life in the life to come. And if we don't stand firm in what God tells us to do, not by telling people about, but by living it, they must see what we've got. That what we have an inner peace. We have, despite the turmoil going on around us, that we have the living God that created this universe inside us to show us the way, but not the way of religion, because man-made religion has caused all the problems.
Mr. Okay. Logic.
That's my view.
Mr. Logic just genuflected. I don't know whether he's ridiculing the caller or what. Would you? And you have a big smirk on your face, Mr. Logic.
Oh, getting into religion is always an interesting topic to get into. But I think, well, religion has been one of the biggest sources of trouble since the creation of mankind, basically. If somebody's God can beat up somebody else's God, my God is better than yours.
Yeah, that's what they say. Allahu Akbar, our God is greater. That's the whole war cry of Islam. It's a lie.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your call.
Okay.
Take care. There's Mike and Soquel. Then we have Harold and Aptos. Mike, you're on KSCO. Go.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
And everyone. I call for two. Make two comments.
Wait a minute. Who are you excluding? Oh, Judy. Judy's not a Judy. Okay.
And good morning. Thank you so much for remembering me.
I forgot your name.
Judy.
Judy, yeah. Anyway, I call for two reasons. One is to say I agree with the notion that we need to educate the people in Iraq. And everything that's been said should have been done long ago. Okay? And I'm on with that. But, Mr. Billy Sunshine, you know, I've heard you say a lot of things over the years on this program, and you really hurt my feelings this time. You've insulted us, and I just want to say to you one thing. I wouldn't want to stand before God on Judgment Day with your attitude, okay? You sound like one angry man. Somebody somewhere in your past hurt you, and you need to deal with that anger. Because it will catch up with you, okay? If I could meet you someday, I'd tell you that to your face. Because I want to see the look in your eye when you come to that realization. Okay, Mr. Billy Sunshine?
Were you serious about meeting him, Mike?
If I could, yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
Okay, we'll get your phone number off the air. I'll put you on hold. We'll get your phone number. We'll see if we can arrange it, okay?
That's fine.
Okay, great. Thanks for your call to the Saturday special, Kevin. Yeah, so Dave, can you get Mike and Soquel's phone number here so that we can maybe accommodate his desire here? This is great. Thank you. All right, Harold and Aptos.
Okay, I've been listening so long, I almost forgot what I was going to talk about. But your first topic was basically about private property. And,
my topic, that's right.
Yeah, and I've heard you rant and rave about this for years, MZ, and nobody's ever taken you on about it, because you own the radio station, and
no,
I might be censored. My throat's cut and thrown into
people
an
are encouraged
mob.
To disagree with me.
I know,
of
I'm
course, they won't be on very long.
Yeah, see, I got that dry humor of yours.
Yeah.
And even Cyril has humor, I found that, but you really have to dig. The Aussie impresses me as a historian, but he can't go farther back before Muhammad arose, and I can. I can go all the way back to when our ancestors worship trees and spirits in the water and squirrels, probably. But you're always talking about this mantra about private property. I'll do what I want with private property, and growth is good, and that's the new mantra of the post-Republican Party of Lincoln, because Lincoln, his Republicans were involved in other things. Okay, now they've already said growth is inevitable. How do you do it? We have a small piece of land here, this little strip of coast. The Santa Clara Valley is three times the size of Santa Cruz County. And as I went up to a ball game up the coast here and went through the Santa Clara Valley and up the coast into the part of San Francisco where St. Ignatius High School is, I noticed what they did in Daly City and parts of San Francisco. They built multi-layered property.
So
you know what, Harold? Harold, we'll hold you over until the next hour. The clocks are wrong here. I should have gone into the Fox News. Sure. It's KSEO Santa Cruz.
Iraqi security forces.
The prime minister wants to show the people who elected him that he's willing to make the hard decisions necessary to provide security. To do that, he needs larger and more capable Iraqi forces under his control, and he needs them quickly.
Evangelical preacher Reverend Jim Wallace delivered the Democratic radio response.
For too long, we have had a politics of blame and fear, while America is eager for a politics of solutions and hope. It is time to find common ground by moving to higher ground.
Reverend Wallace is the best-selling author of the book God's Politics. New developments in the probe of how a Russian spy was poisoned to death in London.
It's understood that Alexander Litvinenko's widow now has tested positive for the radioactive isotope that killed her husband, although doctors are saying that the traces on her body are negligible. And then Litvinenko's professor friend, one of the last people he met with before he became ill, has been found to have significant amounts of the toxin in his system.
A Midwestern storm, a winter storm, is moving east. Thousands of customers are now without power in New York and in parts of Pennsylvania, and at least 11 people have died because of it.
This could be our first taste of snow across coastal areas of the Northeast, potentially in towards New York City, up towards Boston by Sunday night into Monday morning.
The East Coast bracing for it. That's Fox News meteorologist Rick Reichmuth. And in New York City, hundreds of people observing a moment of silence near the site of a police shooting that left a young man dead on his wedding day. 23-year-old Sean Bell being buried today. You're listening to Fox News Radio. We're fair and balanced.
When it rains, all my friends go away. God doesn't like me anymore. The wind could come and take your house. Santa won't know where to find me. Mommy scared the sky.
What's going on in the mind of a child who's lived through a hurricane?
You can drown in your bed if you fall asleep.
A lot. Talk to them. Reassure them. We can help. Call 1-800-789-2647 to make sure they move on healthy and happy. That's 1-800-789-2647. Trained and caring people are ready to assist you. It's confidential and free. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Military parade to mark the Cuban leader Fidel Castro's 80th birthday, but he is still a no-show.
The billboards in Havana say Fidel Castro is more than just a name or a leader, that Fidel is a country. And the throngs have come out to support that country, a good portion of Havana. And according to officials here, up to 2,000 foreigners, including well-known leaders and thinkers and writers from the Latin left. Now, Fidel actually turned 80 last summer, and his family wants him to stay home and rest today because he's been ill for the past 4 months. But his security details here, and there's an overwhelming public desire to see their leader, perhaps for the last time. In Havana, Holly Hickman, Fox News Radio.
Fidel Castro turned 80 in August of this year. Mixed emotions over a brand new X-ray machine. Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix is using the new backscatter. It displays a naked image of a person to detect whether or not they have weapons or explosives under their clothes. Donna Angieri is a passenger.
Coming from the New York area, anything that they can do to make us safer, I'm fine with.
The TSA spokesperson says the machine softens the image. It's trying to make the private parts appear just a little less revealing. Many retailers trying to cope with the holiday buying blitz, finding creative ways to find new help this holiday season. Pop singer Britney Spears giving a whole new meaning to the word liberating. The popster has been spotted three times this week. She announced a couple of weeks ago her divorce from pop singer Kevin Federline. Britney Spears known without underwear this week while partying in L.A. with Paris Hilton. I'm Karen Stewart, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville, I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, December 2nd, 2006. It looks like today will be mostly sunny with highs around 65 degrees. Winds should be light and variable. Tonight will be generally clear with lows around 40 degrees. Again, winds should be light and variable. Tomorrow you can expect mainly sunny skies with highs around 66 degrees. Tomorrow night will be clear with lows around 42 degrees. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, east winds 5 knots with wind waves 1 foot and a northwest swell 2 to 6 feet at 11 seconds. Currently, the temperature here at the station is 63 degrees, and it's time to take you back to the Saturday special with your host, MZ, right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville.
Welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. It's MZ and special guests in the studio. We're having a really spirited discussion on, God, all kinds of things. So join us.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Coming up soon, we have another award-winning commentary from Kay. But since we were in the middle of hearing from Harold and Aptos on a myriad of items, and we have poor James and Seaside wanting to talk about Iraq, and somebody calling on line two who's being screened right now, we don't want to let just anybody on KSCO. We're going to go back to Harold before we do Kay's commentary. Okay? So, Harold, you're on. Harold, going once, going twice. Okay.
Hope MZ, he switched onto the different line.
He switched onto a different line? Oh, okay. Thank you. Why did he do that? Why did you switch onto a different line, Harold? What was wrong with the first line?
Hello, MZ.
Hi, what was wrong with the first line?
We're back to normal. You have the best technical difficulties there is.
That's true.
What happened is when you switched off of Fox News back to this line, it went dead. I heard absolutely nothing. So I just hung up and redialed 479-1080 again.
That's not a technical difficulty. That's what you're supposed to hear is nothing.
That's right. It's normal. Normal, yeah. Saturday special.
Okay.
I'm so used to that.
All right.
Now, we're talking about... Do you worship the new God of private property, and there should be no restrictions, no government watching that? What is wrong with that? One thing, as I was driving up to the city, the old city of San Francisco, you see homes, full-size homes built, one right next, one, you know, stuck within, you know what I mean, how Daly City
ticky-tacky,
is.
Ticky-tacky, Daly City.
What's the right word for it? One, there's no space between homes. They're stuck one to another.
Setback,
another,
no
another.
Setbacks, zero lot line.
Okay, that's what they call it, okay? And what's wrong with that? Because if one catches fire, your whole block burns down. So you have to have somebody watching private property. And also...
Harold, stop it. Stop it. I've never said there shouldn't be zoning laws that are strict and enforced. Never have I said that.
Okay. If that's the opinion I gave, well, okay. This is what I want to debate, because nobody's ever taken you on this.
So because I can't be taken on.
Taken
that's
on.
Why. Because
I
make total sense when it comes to private property rights.
Okay.
It's the cornerstone of our society.
Now, property owners, though, can live outside of the area, and how do you reel them in? For instance, a neighbor of mine has a piece of land here, and we had a mudslide. And the county government tried to chase her down, as she was a little old lady in Georgia, owned the property, and we never found her. Also, contractors can move in, build thousands of homes, just leave the area, and you can't track them down if something goes wrong. So that's flaws in the absolutism of private property. What do you say about that?
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay. Also, when you have a high-dense area, they mentioned the quality of life goes down. You're going to have fires, diseases, noise, crime, the cost of building schools and hospitals. Prop 187, folks. Okay, big money corruption and inspections of real property. When I bought this place, they wouldn't let me inspect the plumbing or the roof or foundation. They have inspectors come
they
out.
They wouldn't. Who's they?
The
who
county.
Let
the county.
You do
county
what's
government.
Reasonable.
The county planning department wouldn't let me inspect the own house I was going to buy. What you did is they have their inspectors. One inspects the foundation. One inspects your roof. One inspects your plumbing. I wanted to go up my roof to see how it was. Everything passes. The corruption is so bad, and the roof was a mess. Wood shakes, shingles, and they were rotting all over the place, but everything passed, so it took me 12 years to build this house back up. So I want to move on to Iraq, your second topic, unless you have something more to say
no,
about
I
this.
Want you to move on to Iraq.
Okay. Now, I can go back as a historian. The Aussie surprised me. I thought I was the only no-spin historian. But he knows a lot, but before Muhammad, what was there? Zoroastrianism. Zoroaster was the big prophet. Before that, before religion. What do you need free speech? No, you do not. What you always need in history, you need an arm you can get to quickly, a sword, a knife, a gun, or an arrow, and you have to have alliances with groups that, in case the king or the feudal warlord goes off, you can defend yourself. So you absolutely don't need free speech or our Bill of Rights. You need no government take your arms away from you. And then I have other things to say, but what else? Oh, how to get out. Okay, you have to get out. You get out like a Roman army did when they got stuck in Turkey. They took their 150,000 men legions, and they slowly backed out, heavily armed, to another country. Iraq is for knocking out a cruel dictator, Saddam Hussein, and it's also for oil. Don't let Cyril tell you anything differently than that. And you Republicans, you're going to lose the nomination for president if Bush doesn't get out now. He's talking about 2 years, maybe more, maybe more. You're going to lose to a Democrat, but will this Democrat be controlled by special interests too, like Hillary Rodham Clinton or John Kerry? Probably, but will a new face arise? And I want them to speculate on that, and thank you, Michael Zwirling.
You're welcome, Harold Naptos. Okay, go ahead, JSO. Comment on what Harold said.
He commented about a number of totally unrelated things.
That's the way
it's
Harold
kind of
is.
Hard to tie them together.
That's sort of the way we are.
Uh-huh. I guess I won't make the attempt.
Okay. We have an email from Robot, and the subject line says Silly Billy. Okay, let's bring it up here. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's a quote. I'd almost pay to see the look on Silly Billy's face when he's standing before God. And that's from Brian, 869-9932, if anybody wants to talk to Brian. He put his phone number in there, so
yeah,
he must want us to give it out. James in Seaside has been waiting a long time. Thank you, James in Seaside. You're on the air on KSCO AM 1080.
Well, good morning, Michael.
How'll you be today? Be honest.
I'll be real good.
Good.
I just want to talk about the war in Iraq and Iran and all this stuff. I think the reason we're doing so bad over it is because we forgot what the meaning of war is. War means to kill people that get in your way, not to try to pacify them or not to try to make them people that understand your government. And I don't know if you remember when we were kicked out of Vietnam, feeling that was in your stomach. Because, you know, you felt so strong, and then on top of that, you felt helpless. And when I look at Iraq, you know, we go over there, now we're putting our soldiers on trial for killing the enemy. Now, you don't think that makes us look really weak, really undecisive in the eyes of the enemy? And you know what they're doing now? They're using women and children to make us make major decisions. If you're a woman or a child and you're in a war zone, and you're the one that started the war, what's wrong with killing those people? Why do we always have to say, we got all these super weapons, but we can't use nothing because we don't want to kill nobody? And that's why we're going to lose again. And if you remember the feeling in your stomach when we lost in Vietnam,
yeah,
you get ready for a much bigger feeling when we get kicked out of Iraq.
God.
Not because we can't fight, not because we don't have the soldiers that with the will to fight, but it's because we don't have the government that knows what the meaning of war is. And you can't win a war if you don't want to kill nobody. It's impossible. And you can't win a war if we got all the rules and they have no rules. We got all the best weapons, but we can't use them.
I forgot. What an amazing caller. What an amazing caller James Seaside is. Why did I make him wait so long?
Michael, you know, we got to get off this thing about we don't want to kill anybody. We got to do what war means. War means the one that kills the most wins. And if you don't want to kill anybody, you cannot win. And if we don't want to win, Mike, we should get out right now. We shouldn't wait 6 or 7 months. If we don't want to win, we should get out right now. Yeah.
Well, who's going to decide that?
Well, see, the public has to decide. The public was the one that made us get out of Vietnam.
Yeah.
Because they were burning down America, because they wanted us to get out. But when the public decides we don't want to be a shoe mat anymore, but we want to be a strong company that we really are, we will rise up and say, let's do it. We're not going over to the play. We're going over to the fight. That's what warriors fight. And we can't fight if our hands are tied behind our back. And until we untie our hands, Michael, it's just going to be this long, drawn-out thing that's not going to lead us anywhere. But I don't want to be embarrassed anymore, being under the name America, and have to drop my head when I look up at somebody because I can't win a little simple-ass war like this. And excuse me for saying what I said. But I want to be able to hold my head high and say, I am America.
That's what they did after World War II.
That's what they did after Korea. But we didn't go over there trying to make friends. We went over there to fight.
Can there be anybody who can disagree with this man?
I don't think anybody in America will disagree because nobody likes to lose.
Well, John is getting ready to disagree. John, you're going to disagree with James?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Because we've won the war. The war is won. We have complete control over the country, except for a few people who are blowing themselves up. Now,
well, you know what, John? Let me tell you this. If next time, what do you call those bombs that they sit on the side of the road? If the next time one of those went off, we went in there and killed everybody in that village. There wouldn't be another one to go off. But if we go over there trying to say, they stand there and watch our trucks come down the road, know where the bomb is. They want to see how bad it's going to blow it up.
What we have to do is get the people in the village point out any time somebody plants a bomb. And the way we do it is advertising.
Okay, you know how you do it, John? You go out there and advertise all you want to, and you're not going to get anything but blown up. You know how you do it? You get somebody that you know or you think you know, get it. I knew about it. Didn't tell you. You killed it.
Look, the Germans could have put bombs on the streets all over and blown up a bunch of Americans, too. They didn't do it because we had better advertising.
Okay, well, whatever you think, you know. You go ahead on with your thoughts, and I'll go ahead on with mine. Because I know advertising will do nothing but get you killed. You know, I was in Vietnam twice.
I don't think
I didn't advertise nothing, you know. And the people that came back, you know who they were? The people that wanted to live. You know what people that wanted to live? They killed people that they knew were opposed to them. And I'm not trying to start nothing by saying I saw some kind of atrocities and stuff, but I knew when I went to Vietnam, I wanted to come back home alive. And I came back alive. Because if you were in the war zone and you could possibly do something hurt me, I tried to hurt you first. I wasn't waiting on somebody to make a decision to say, oh, well, don't kill him because he's a boy. I don't kill him because she's a woman. They're just as dangerous as everybody else on the battlefield. And the will to live is the strongest will in the world. You know, and I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you had the will to live. But you go where you have to think about every day when you get up in the morning, am I going to be alive tonight to go home the next day? If you ever get in a position like that, John, ain't no way in the world you're going to care about no advertising. Advertising for those dudes that go to school and never been out of real life.
All right, you know, propaganda. Propaganda is it then?
That's exactly what it is. But if you ever been in real life where you got to try to live, or try to make a living, John, you haven't been in real life where you got to live, or try to make a real life for yourself. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't think you can control a population by threatening to kill them.
Well, you know what? They blew up those towers in New York on 9/11, right?
Yeah. Well, but that was the 2%.
Yeah, but it don't make a difference how many percent it is.
Yes, it does. If 98% is on your side, you win.
Do you know how many people in New York on 9/11 didn't sleep that night? Do you know how many people did it? Not only in New York. Do you know how many people in Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Jose? You know how many did sleep that night? Why didn't they sleep, John? Why didn't they go in bed and just fall over and go to sleep like they normally do? Fear. If you've never done fear, John, you don't know what the heck I'm talking about. But if you ever had stood up and looked down the barrel of a rifle a barrel of a 175 or any kind of missile, then you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't did that, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking way over your head. And I'm just the eighth grade education dude. And I know it's going to be hard for me to talk over your head.
Okay, I slept okay that night. I was not afraid.
You were?
I was not afraid, no.
Where were you sleeping at? What kind of tall buildings in the area where you sleep?
Don't appeal to me.
They appear to people flying aircraft into buildings, though.
No, look. 2% of the population can cause a lot of trouble, but they cannot take over the country unless they give you fear.
Fear is a very destructive emotion. As American soldiers and American fighting people, we want to be on a 2% side. We want to put that fear in your heart to where you know if anything happens to any of us, somebody's there going to pay. And until we get that General Patton feeling back, you know, then we're not going to win anything. We're going every time something pop up and we go into it, we're going to be kicked out.
I completely disagree with you.
I don't mind you disagreeing with me. All I want you to do is just listen to. And tonight when you go to sleep, if you don't think about it, then you don't have a right to be in America. Because America is about winning. America is not about rolling over and quit. We have never quit anything. We've never lost anything. Until the kids that were born in 1950 came along and wanted to burn down the United States because they didn't want us to win in Vietnam. And now we've got that no-win attitude. We don't want to win. We can win. We could have won this, you know, 6 months ago. 2 years ago, we could have won it. And we didn't want to fight a war, but we went to make friends. You can't make friends in a war because you don't know who the enemies are. You don't want to make friends. You want them to know that you will kill them if they cross you. That's all you want them to know. And then they understand who you are. But we lost that when we lost Patton, and we lost all those soldiers at the end of World War II.
James.
When all those soldiers got out, we didn't have nobody to want to fight them. All
James.
We got now is those people that want to be making friends. Yes, sir.
James.
Yes, sir.
You've called before. And every time you call, I get goosebumps. I mean, I really, really, I really appreciate your call. Maybe you're a hermit and don't want us to know who you are, where you are. But I've asked that you leave a phone number. Are you comfortable doing that?
I'm very comfortable doing that.
Okay, Dave, I'm gonna put James on hold, and I hope. And if I screw up. And I dropped the call. Please call back, James, and give us your phone number. Give your phone number to the call screener.
I will.
Because we want to be able to call. We want to be able to get in touch with you. Okay.
Sure.
I really appreciate your call.
I love my country. I'm a black man. I love this country.
Wow.
You know, Michael, I love this country. This country gave me more than anybody else in the world could ever give. But I don't like being second class and losing to somebody that ain't got two pair of shoes. I got to lose a war to them because I feel sorry for them.
I have
they
to agree with him.
How could any? You don't really disagree with him, John. You don't. You can't. Nobody can disagree with this guy. He's amazing.
Well, obviously somebody disagrees because our policy is not what he's saying.
They're idiots.
It don't make no difference with the policy. Who made the policy? Those smoking dudes that were back here in the 70s.
Well, we have kind of a wishy-washy way of life, I guess, in this country. We can't really decide whether we're going to war or not.
Well, we have the best life in the world. If you don't like the life you...
No, I'm not saying we have a bad life. I'm saying our governmental policies are pretty wishy-washy.
If my life is so wishy-washy, why is everybody in the world trying to come here? Please tell me that. Tell me why everybody in the world wants to come here, even if they have to come illegally. You know, they'll go through that desert out there all night and know it's a chance they're going to die. But they want to come here. Why do they want to come here? Because it's so wishy-washy?
Yeah, because they can get away with almost anything.
You were born with a golden spoon in your mouth, so you'll never understand what I'm trying to say.
I want you to talk with James. Don't go away. I have to go out and tend to some important business because people are gesturing at me, and I don't know what the hell they want. I'm going to find out what they want, but I want you to talk with James, and don't let him get away.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I wasn't.
Dead air.
I wasn't disagreeing with you in terms of everybody coming to this country. I'm saying
that's what America is about. America is about you feeling the way you want to feel and saying what you want to say.
Well,
as long as we got that freedom, you know, you can feel whatever you want to feel.
Well, the trouble but, with know, one of the
it's
troubles.
Not wrong for me to, it's not wrong for me to say I think you're wrong in the way that you feel because, see, you never stop and look at what we got here. We got the most beautiful place in the whole world. We got the most beautiful area in the whole world. And you know what?
most people that live here don't appreciate it. But when you came from a place like me with 11 kids in the family, your father made $25 a week, and you can look through the side of your house and see what the weather was like on the outside. When you get to where I am today, then you know how to appreciate the things that we got, or the things that you can acquire in America. You know, I make under $200,000 a year, and I got two houses. You know, all my cars and everything are paid for. I don't have to worry about it because I live in America, where a person that came from nowhere with eighth grade education and don't have to worry about those kinds of things. All you do is want to work if you can work in America. But this is the only country in the world where you can have something, you know, just about doing what you want to do. Not doing what somebody tells you to do, but doing what you want to do. You can have stuff. No place else in the world can you do that.
Are you on a cell phone by any chance?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you're breaking up occasionally a little bit. And I wasn't sure if you were on Skype or on a cell phone.
Well, I can call back on the regular phone if you want me to.
Oh, that's fine. We can understand you. It's just that it was a little bit of a break up there.
Okay. I'll try to sit still and won't break up. But I am 100% for America. I don't care how we do it. And if we got the power to do it, why do we feel sorry for people when they pick on us? You know?
Oh, well, wait a second. James, stay on. There's someone who has a problem with you.
Okay.
Brian and Freedom, I'm going to bring him on with you. Go ahead, Brian. You're on with
Michael,
James.
I got a big problem with him and with the station. My problem with the caller is he doesn't call often enough. His call isn't long enough. And my problem with the station is he doesn't have his own show. And my problem with the guest there is that you can't argue with him, so you attack his phone, phony.
Well, I hope there's somebody else in America to feel the way I do about it.
I do. I'm for you. You hear what I'm saying?
I'm tired of being second class. I'm tired of being second class. It's just like the border. You know, all we got to do is the National Guard get paid anyway and have their tour due to a certain amount of months on the border, guarding the border. That wouldn't cost no more than to do right now because you send them to training for 4 weeks a year. So if they're 4 weeks is on the border putting them border guard, what's that going to cost? It's going to cost you no more than to do right now. But we don't want to protect our country. We want to be open and feel sorry for everybody. But nobody is feeling sorry for us. And I think it's time we got off that horse and got on a mule.
All right, Brian, stay on. Ken in Aptos has a problem, and he might have a real problem with James. Let's find out.
James is the caller of the year.
A problem with James. I want James to run for office in this county or this state. The man is absolutely
right on.
He
great American.
My brother and I, we grew up in East Oakland, and we fought, hand-to-hand skirmishes with different people of different color. But this man is speaking absolutely correct. He's got it down. He should be running for office. And I would say KSVO should be sponsoring him. The man's, and thank you, James, for serving. It was great. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I left with disgrace, man, because we lost.
Well, nobody's holding you in disgrace. It was Walter Crankcase and his BS and LBJ and all the white liberals that are doing the same thing to this country. They did the same thing to Vietnam. I didn't have a chance to serve. I'm a diabetic. But when I caught, when I was down at the Oakland Army Terminal watching the stuff, I couldn't believe what they did to our soldiers. And it's time for an ass-kicking.
Well, I'll tell you, I was in the Army in 1985 and at Fort Ord. And at the back gate every Saturday, they were bringing busloads of people out there to demonstrate the bird flags, drag flags on the ground and all that stuff. And then that's when I realized how bad off our country was. And the Vietnamese didn't have no resupplies. When they were in combat, they only fought with what they had. We had all kind of helicopters and all that kind of stuff bringing us resupplies, and we couldn't beat them. You know why? Because they were fighting for their country. They loved the country. And we didn't have a reason to fight because people back here were burning our country down. So why did we want to die for that, you know? I know how the soldier feel today, too, when you hear all the stuff from CNN and all those places. When you listen to all those kind of people talk about how bad they are and how terrible they are. And to think that a person goes to a court-martial for killing the enemy.
You're absolutely right on,
and that don't make no sense.
I don't think there's any. There isn't going to be anybody who's going to call and disagree with James because those kind of people don't listen to KSCO. All right, Ken,
get him to run for office. office, Michael.
Yeah, I agree, totally. We're going to get his phone number here. We'll get it off the air. Thank you, Ken and Aptos. Brian, do you have anything else?
Yeah, James should have his own show. He's the caller of the year.
Yeah. Okay, let's see if we can arrange it, okay?
May God bless you, James.
Yeah, okay.
I have enough education to have it,
You're a comedian, too, James. That's great. Okay, stand by. Here, I'm going to put you on hold. And we're going to get ready to have Kay's commentary here, but here's James who disagrees with the other James. Now, oh, good. So I'm wrong. There is someone who listens to KSCO that could possibly disagree with the caller of the year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're not kidding, right?
Oh, no. I'm not kidding. I love our country. I love the Constitution. I love the, that it's based upon law. The problem that I have is that it doesn't seem like he really understands that, even if you're going to have war, if you're going to have war, you got to have war. I won't disagree with him there. You can't tie the hands of any military person. It's just wrong. But the bottom line is, where does this war begin and where does it end? There's no clear objective.
Now, where are you going to disagree with him? I want you to disagree with him. I'll put him back on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I disagree that this war in Iraq needs to be fought right now, because there's no way you're going to eliminate every terrorist in the world through force. It's just not going to happen. It's proved over and over again. Sometimes you have a caller who talks about Rome. They found out the hard way. The real problem. People make this connection between Iraq and Al Qaeda that's not there. People make this connection between this war and what happened on 9/11, and it's just not there. The people that were on those planes were mostly Saudi Arabia, and I've just found it, very interesting what happened that day, because the only plane that was allowed to leave our airspace that day had people from Saudi Arabia on it that were family of Osama bin Laden.
Okay,
so
James,
my premise is just that, it doesn't seem like it's the right war. It's not the right time. It's not justifiable.
Okay, I'm going to bring the other James back on. Go ahead, okay. The other James.
May I ask you a question before you go away, please?
Me or the caller?
The caller.
Okay, go ahead.
Are the people in Iraq trying to kill the Americans? Sir, are you there, James?
Yeah, I'm here. What'd you say? I didn't quite hear that.
Are the people in Iraq trying to kill Americans?
What about those people?
Are they trying to kill Americans? He wants to know. Are the people in Iraq trying to kill Americans?
Yeah, there are people there obviously trying to kill Americans. Yeah.
Are the people trying to kill Americans?
Pardon me? Is there other people, too?
Al-Qaeda. Are they trying to kill Americans, too?
In Afghanistan? Yeah, they are, and I guess they're in Iraq now, too.
So what you're saying is all right for them to kill as many of us as they want to kill.
Is that what you're just saying? That's amazing. That's not what I said at all. I didn't say it's okay for anybody to kill any Americans. That's not what I said. The reason why we're there, you see, this is what you don't understand. The reason why we're there is bogus. You see? The reason why we're there is bogus. There's no weapons of mass destruction, okay? There's no reason for us to be there. Did Iraq attack America?
Did Iraq attack America?
Yeah,
I don't know who attacked. So the last person that threw a stone at me, I wanted to kill him.
Okay, so you got a gun, you want to kill somebody, you don't even know who killed who, but you want revenge. And so what I'm saying is that's the worst kind of fear, because I don't want anybody else
to know that attacked us, that they're not going to have a free ride. And if I kill somebody that I don't know, then I kill
them.
I don't want nobody else to think that it's all right to go attack us because nothing's going to be done.
Right. Would you agree, though, that we got all the rules on the American soldiers,
and they got no rules?
James, would you agree that the force needs to be directed at the perpetrator?
I agree with that 100%.
Okay, so don't you think that it would be wise then to figure out who the perpetrator is?
I think they did that. I don't have no intelligence sources. So what they did, I have to believe. This is my country. I don't think they would go kill up or go attack somebody that they didn't know where they came from.
That's interesting, because you're saying that basically the people at the top of our government would never mislead you.
I don't think so. That's basically what you're saying, right? Not intentionally, no. I don't think so.
Because people that
I vote for, I think I know them fairly well. I voted for George Bush twice, and if he could run again, I'll vote again.
Well, maybe that's where you and I are different, because somebody's in a place of office or in a place of authority, to me, it doesn't mean that's perfect. To me, it doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes.
I didn't say that.
I'm going to think something through before I send my kid to war, or before I jump in on a war, or before anybody dies that I know or love. I'm going to think things through. I'm not going to just pick up a gun and start killing anybody. I think there's a lot of people in our country that
way. Soldiers get paid to die. I got paid to die, but I cheated them. I came back home.
You know what? I think soldiers are paid to fight. I think if a soldier is going to just join to die, okay, listen,
I know you guys could go on forever here, but there's somebody else named Pat in Santa Cruz who also disagrees with James. I want to bring Pat on. And I want to thank the second James who disagrees with the first James. And then we got to get to Kay's commentaries. But I can't let James in Seaside get away without getting his phone number here.
Mike, I love Kay's commentary.
Okay. Oh, good. Oh, good.
That's the smartest woman in the world, you know that?
Wait a minute. You haven't heard it yet.
Oh, I heard all the ones before this.
Oh, okay.
I listen every weekend, like all weekend long.
You heard all the ones before it.
I sure did.
So, okay. Thank you. Okay, James, who disagrees with James, thank you for calling here. We're going to let you go, but we're going to put Pat on, who disagrees with James. Go ahead, Pat. You're on.
Yeah, you say, hey, James.
Yes.
Yeah, you say nobody died. I mean, we're afraid to kill people. We're pussyfooting around, and we got to show them we mean business.
That's right.
Well,
and until you show people you mean business, it's just like living on the street.
Yeah.
If a dude knows he can break in your house, and you're not going to say nothing, but just stand there and help him take the stuff out.
Right. We got that. What I want to say here is that in Vietnam, we killed between 2 and 3 million Vietnamese. They killed 54,000 of us. So I don't know where you get your arithmetic, because the odds are similar in this war. And in both cases, we went and invaded another country. If another country invaded us, do you think we would be entitled to behave the same way that other countries are when we invade them?
Do you know why, you know, before the Vietnam era, did everybody wanted to be our friend? Do you know why? Because we were the man with the big stick. And they figured if we were our friends.
Your idea of friendship is beating the hell out of people.
If they were our friends and
messed
with them, that's not we would come
friendship.
In and help them, you know?
No, your
and
idea,
that's what we
your
did.
Idea
that's
friendship,
what we did in South
James,
Vietnam.
James, your idea of
we
friendship
were supposed
is
to be South
beating
Vietnam's
the hell out
friend.
Of people.
You know, we were supposed to be South Vietnam's friend. And what you do, you go out there and start the biggest war since World War II, and then you get scared and leave.
Yeah,
and
well,
I don't believe
it's
being a
part of it. If your idea of friendship is killing everybody so they're afraid of you, that's not friendship.
Well, that's what it was before then. You know, people were afraid of us because of who we were.
Well,
now,
that's not friendship.
Now nobody is
all right,
afraid of
that
us.
Might be fear.
Look
that's
at Venezuela.
Not friendship.
Venezuela even telling us to
that's
go.
Not friendship, James.
I know that's not friendship. That's
well,
how
then don't
you can
call
depend
it friendship.
On. I want to be a friend that you can depend on. I don't want to be just a pushover nation. Not
well,
with
if
all
you're
going to
be a friend.
Can.
Hey, wait a minute.
You ever
going to be
military
a friend?
Channel?
You can't do it just by the threat of killing everybody.
Well,
but
I don't want
to
kill everybody.
To be where you're
I just
at.
Want to, I just want people to know if they mess with me, I'm going to kill them. I don't want to, just like in the neighborhood I live.
Okay,
you know,
but the point here,
you know,
the point,
you breaking
the point
my
here
James is my guy.
Hey, if
I'm
we go invade somebody, we're messing with them. They're not messing with us.
Well, I don't think we invaded.
All right, thanks, Pat. Now here's Ken in Freedom wants to talk to James. Go ahead, quick, James. Okay, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for having me, MZ.
What is
but
that
you know,
sound?
Oh, that's my other phone.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay. All right, go ahead, Ken. You're on.
Yeah, you know, James, I agree with you. We should be doing something about everything and take all the politicians out of it, because that's what
that's what the problem is. The problem is politicians.
Is,
you know, let the generals go. The generals know what we're going
to do. Because that's what happened in Vietnam. It happened in Korea.
That's exactly
and
right.
It all started
now.
To happen in World War II. You know, they the politicians, they want... to go out and get the votes. The media, all they show is the bad results of everything.
That's right.
Okay, and the people that disagree with James over there in Seaside, how many times do you want our ships like the coal over in Yemen attacked with nothing done about it? How many times do you want our super tall skyscrapers to be hit by airplanes or something else? How many times do you want that to happen before we actually take action on it? And then again, for the deal for the James, I think it was an app toss, right? Is the wrong time, the wrong place to be doing this war, and you want to go after the perpetrator? Well, you want to go after the perpetrator, and you also want to go after the perpetrator's supporters.
That's right.
Say someone break in, chances are it may be just one person, but then chances are it has a group and someone that drove in there, someone that drove him back. Okay, so yeah, we want to get those people too, just like regular law enforcement does.
That's right.
Right, but I don't want to see this country attacked again because we're wanting to find out who actually did it. Dave, if we're stopping the person from actually attacking this country by taking out his support, we're still accomplishing the same thing.
Okay, right. We've got Chris in Scotts Valley and Mike in Madera, but, this is going to go on forever. I want you guys to stay on, but we're going to play Kay's commentary now before it gets too late. So let's go ahead and do that. I think it's a sort of a long one, so we hope you'll stay on. If you don't, we understand. But let's play it. It's an award winner. I haven't heard it yet, but it's really good, I'm told.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
The following was sent to me by my good friend Dave Allen, and it is a true story. Did God create evil? A university professor at a well-known institution of higher learning challenged his students with this question: did God create everything that exists? A student bravely replied, "Yes, he did." God created everything? The professor asked. Yes, sir, he certainly did, the student replied. The professor answered, if God created everything, then God created evil. And since evil exists, and according to the principle that our works define who we are, then we can assume God is evil. The student became quiet and did not respond to the professor's hypothetical definition. The professor, quite pleased with himself, boasted to the students that he had proven once more that the Christian faith was a myth. Another student raised his hand and said, "May I ask you a question, Professor?" "Of course," replied the professor. The student stood up and asked, "Professor, does cold exist?" "What kind of a question is this?" "Of course it exists. Have you never been cold?" The other students snickered at the young man's question. The young man replied, "In fact, sir, cold does not exist. According to the laws of physics, what we consider cold is in reality the absence of heat. Every body or object is susceptible to study. When it has or transmits energy, and heat is what makes a body or matter have or transmit energy, absolute zero is the total absence of heat, and all matter becomes inert and incapable of reaction at that temperature. Cold does not exist. We have created this word to describe how we feel if we have no heat." The student continued, "Professor, does darkness exist?" The professor responded, "Of course it does." The student replied, "Once again, you're wrong, sir. Darkness doesn't exist either. Darkness is in reality the absence of light. Light we can study, but not darkness. In fact, we can use Newton's prism to break white light into many colors and study the various wavelengths of each color. You cannot measure darkness. A simple ray of light can break into a world of darkness and illuminate it. How can you know how dark a certain space is? You measure the amount of light present. Darkness is a term used by man to describe what happens when there is no light present." Finally, the young man asked the professor, "Sir, does evil exist?" Now uncertain, the professor responded, "Of course, as I have always said, we see it every day. It's in the daily examples of man's inhumanity to man. It's in the multitude of crime and violence everywhere in the world. These manifestations are nothing else but evil. To this, the student replied, "Evil does not exist, sir, or at least it does not exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is just like darkness and cold, a word that man has created to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is the result of what happens when man does not have God's love present in his heart. It's like the cold that comes when there is no heat, or the darkness that comes when there is no light." The professor sat down. The young man's name? Albert Einstein. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Now, I'm always asking Mom to write more of her own commentary. She says she's not into egos or anything like that. When someone passes along something that she thinks is really neat, she wants to share it with people. So thanks to Dave Allen for doing that. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. It's 11:45. There's 15 minutes remaining in this program. Time to take a commercial break, and then we'll go back to the phone lines with James and Seaside, Chris and Scotts Valley, Mike and Madera, Ken and Freedom, and ringing whoever's calling us now. Stay with us.
The sun sets earlier, and the night air becomes colder. It's time to supplement with some extra light and warmth. Hello, Michael Olson here with the Santa Cruz Host Lions Club. One of the best ways to add light and warmth to your winter evenings is with a fresh, ever-so-fragrant Lions Club Christmas tree. Lion Christmas trees, or Hanukkah bushes as fellow Lion Arnie Levine calls them, will lift the spirits of your family and friends in ways no artificial, made-in-China plastic fantastic apparition can ever do. But don't take my word for it. Visit the Lions Club Christmas tree lot on Coral Street next to Costco and see the magnificent Douglas, Grand, and Noble firs for yourself. And for a little extra warmth, know that 100% of the proceeds from your purchase of a lion tree will go to help people in our community see and hear, and to help our youth grow into productive citizens. Pick up the spirits of your family and friends. Pick up a Santa Cruz Host Lions Christmas tree at the Portuguese Hall on Coral Street near Costco in Santa Cruz. And hey, happy holidays.
A Real Life Santa's Workshop is coming to the Hallmark Charter School on Morrow Road next to the library in Prunedale, starting at 10 o'clock Saturday, December 2nd. While grown-ups stay busy at crafts and big rummage sale, the kids make gifts for everyone. Saturday morning, Hallmark Charter School on Morrow Road next to the library in Prunedale. 10 o'clock December 2nd, Hallmark Charter School in Prunedale. Hallmark Charter School in
Prunedale. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Santa is coming to your favorite hardware and garden stores. Scarborough has become Santa's workshop, and he joins the fun this Saturday. Santa's first stop is noon until 2 at Scarborough Gardens and Hidden Treasures Gift Shop at 33 El Pueblo. Next, he'll be at Scarborough Ace Hardware in the Kings Village Center from 3 until 5 p.m. Come to either location in Scotts Valley for free refreshments and photos with Santa. And for Christmas ideas, come to Scarborough Gardens on El Pueblo and Scarborough Ace Hardware in the Kings Village Center, Scotts Valley, or the Scarborough Home Center on Highway 9 in Ben Lomond. From decorations to hardware, lights to trees, these Scarborough stores have it all for the holidays. And don't forget Santa. This Saturday at Scarborough Gardens Hidden Treasures and Scarborough Ace Hardware in Scotts Valley.
Scarborough Lumber and Building Supply.
Hi, everyone. This is Judy DeVilbiss. You know, life is about a lot of choices. My choice was to get involved with the Youngevity Company. So every morning, I get up, and first thing I do is go out into the kitchen, and I mix up my 90-nutrient program from Youngevity. I love it, but best of all, about 6 months ago, or maybe a little longer, I decided that I'd like to go out and try running. And actually, I go out and I compete. And to my amazement, I'm actually coming in first in my class. I've actually won 3 first prizes, which really makes me feel great. Hey, come on, I'm 66 years old. I'm not brand new. But I'll tell you what, every day when I'm going to race, the first thing I do in the morning is take the Ultimate Classic with the Rainforest, and I shoot it down, and then I go about my business and go out and do my run. I just did one today, and hey, you know what? I won. Come on, 888-352-7500. Don't you want to be a winner? 888-352-7500.
Imagine a window that cleans itself. Hi, I'm Gina from Airtight Vinyl Siding and Windows with an invitation for you to come to our Customer Appreciation Day this Saturday, December 2nd from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come see for yourself how the all-new SunClean windows can brighten your home in ways you only dreamed of. Come register to win $2,500 in Airtight installed home improvements. Have us out to your home for a free estimate and get 2 chances to win. Visit Airtight this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., 2601 Chanticleer Avenue, Santa Cruz.
Okay, we're back online here on the Saturday special, the closing minutes thereof. In fact, we only have 10 minutes left, and we got to talk to Mike in Madera. Hello, Mike in Madera. You're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in support of James. He's actually the definition of what a real man in this world used to be, and he's actually just a dying breed. I want to say that, so thank you, James. And I wanted to challenge the James that called in a few minutes ago, just from a logic standpoint. You know, he mentioned that, you know, Al-Qaeda wasn't in Iraq. It's just funny to me how they were in, you know, Iran, they were in Jordan, they were in Pakistan, they were in just about every single country known to man, even in the United States, yet somehow magically no Al-Qaeda existed in Iraq. I would also challenge that the other James to just look up the name Abu Nidal and find out there's a number of connections. And I would trust what every single country that was in an alliance with us that went in to go after WMDs. I mean, I'm getting so sick of the liberal email mantras that, you know, you say something enough and you lie about somebody enough that they eventually believe it. And that guy was just a walking poster board for the liberal side. And I'm sorry, it just drives me nuts to hear people, you know, make mention of things like that, especially when people like James are out there really just telling the truth. And right now, it just feels like the truth doesn't mean anything to anyone anymore, especially that guy James, wherever he was from.
Okay. Thanks. Are you really in Madera, Mike?
Yeah.
Cool. So we're coming in pretty well over there?
Yeah, you are. I actually heard you at about 8 a.m. in Reno, Nevada about 6 months ago.
Wow, great. So did you used to live here, or did you just happen to catch us by accident?
Actually, I still live there. Still live there, only about a mile from the radio station.
Just happened
to be out here and do a lot of stuff, but I try to listen to you as long as I can.
Great. Okay, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. That was James in Madera, but he's normally in Santa Cruz. Here's Chris in Scotts Valley. You're on the air on KSCO, Chris.
Mike, hey, I just wanted to echo Mark's point even further. The talking points James was using, I never hear people who say Al-Qaeda didn't attack us on, I mean, Iraq didn't attack us on 9/11. Well, Germany didn't bomb Pearl Harbor either. Italy certainly had nothing to do with attacking the United States. Yet we invaded Italy, we're involved in a worldwide war on terror. All Islamic fundamentalists aren't Al-Qaeda, and all Al-Qaeda isn't all the Islamic fundamentalists. You know, Iraq is a place where it's a complicated geopolitical reason for invading Iraq, besides the fact that they did at one point in history have weapons of mass destruction, did use them. The Bush administration tried to connect the dots, and even though the dots didn't come out perfect, if they hadn't tried to connect the dots, then who knows what would have happened otherwise. I think in the long run, it will be a success if we do not give up.
Okay. Here's an email from Rich Reynolds. It says, I'm coming apart here listening to James and his BS. Here he is saying the politicians are to blame for the screwed up war, Republican control. And at the same time, he said he would vote again for George W. Bush. Then he connects Iraq with 9/11, even though his president and vice president has stated many times that there was no connection between the two, yet it can't sink into someone like James's head. Hypothetically, a black man shot and killed my sister. Should I come over there and shoot James because he is black and owns a gun? It's the same logic. You rush bots just repeat things without regard to the facts. And to think people would support James run for political office, ha ha ha, it just shows how many non-thinking idiots there are. Now, wait a minute. I object to that, Rich in Aptos. Why did I even read? Well, it says, remember Al-Qaeda wasn't in Iraq before we got there. James, learn the facts. MZ, keep up the entertaining program. Thanks, Rich in Aptos. Well, at least he thanked me for, after he called me an idiot, for totally supporting James. Okay, Rich in Aptos. We only have 5.5 minutes left, and let's go to, I think that was Chris in Scotts Valley, wasn't it? Did I just hang up on Chris in Scotts Valley? Yeah, I guess I did, but that was him. Okay, we got Patrick and Felton and Big Gun Gordy, and go ahead, Patrick, you're on.
Yeah, I think that people equate government with friends like your best buddy.
You have a horrible cell phone. Just yell into it, please.
Okay. People equate government with your friendship and your best buddy. America became a superpower with Russia's fall. With that came a responsibility to the world. I'm 65, so I remember World War II and the Marshall Plan and the largesse provided to the underdeveloped countries by the United States. What we need is, as a government or as a country, is respect and not friendship. Friendship can come with respect, but unless we have the respect, and that respect comes through power, friendship doesn't mean anything.
So, Patrick, are you backing up James in Seaside or sort of?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, here, just say hello to him then, because I'm sure he would like.
Oh, Michael.
Yeah.
I got one question. Have you ever wanted to be a friend of a dude that was considered a pushover?
No.
But if you had a dude that was a bully, that really wasn't a bully but was fighting at the drop of a hat, did you ever try to be friends with them?
Yeah.
You know why you did that? For protection. Because you knew as long as people knew that you ran around with this guy, nobody's going to mess with you.
Right.
And that's the way most countries felt before.
He's
that's
right.
The way most countries felt before when they were friends of America. As long as they were friends of America, they knew nobody's going to mess with them.
Yeah.
But if we keep dropping wars and keep turning our back and running, nobody's going to want to be a friend of us.
Well, there's only one or two people who called to disagree with you, but this... This Rich in Aptos sent an email. I guess he didn't want to go on the air with you, I guess. I don't know.
Well, Rich in Aptos is just like all the other dope smokers, you know.
Oh.
They just smoke so much dope until he can't think straight. And if you want to be on the team of a loser, you know, you should go to a country where they always lose. You can go to Mexico or somewhere.
Yeah.
But if you don't want us to be losers because you want to be a loser. We are a proud nation, Mike.
Amen. Here's Big Gun Gordy to talk to you. Go on, BGG.
Sure.
You're on.
Good morning.
Hey,
good morning. James, you're my brother in arm. I love you because you haven't been corrupted by this over-intellectualizing of what's the obvious.
It's plain to see if you ever been poor or you ever came from somewhere. But first of all, before you can know what it's like to be hungry, you have to first be hungry yourself.
That's right. I went in the service. I fought for our country. It wasn't until I was 41 years of age that I went on to college. I learned through the school of experience, and that's where everybody should learn. They should
that's where you should learn.
Reality
exactly right.
Before they go out spouting off their mouth about what they think might be the case.
Nobody's ever given me anything except my wife, and I love her to death.
Yeah.
She was one that changed my life and showed me that I could go somewhere and have something by just being me. I don't have to try to impress nobody. I could just be me.
How old you say you are, James?
I am 65.
Ah.
Yeah, Billy should be short-circuiting his brain after Kay's last comment. I loved Kay's last comment.
I love it, too. She has made me cry more than any other woman I know in my life.
Yeah, the propaganda from our local media, that needs to get under control.
It sure does.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Sounds like you got to go, James. You're a busy man. I'll bet people recognize you and they're calling you already.
Oh, I think that's my wife.
Hey, we'll be in touch. Thanks very much for calling the Saturday special, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you guys, too. God bless everybody.
Hey, Mr. Logic, thanks for coming by. Thanks to Judy, who has departed the studio. Thanks to Dave Michaels, engineer extraordinaire. And thanks to Donald for showing up to do his perspective show coming up next. That's cool. And, and even Larry Wagner is here. Larry! Yeah, you didn't come on the radio, but some other time, next time, okay? Right. Larry Wagner is a world-famous inventor, and he invents processes that make the world a much better place. Yeah, so he'll be a guest one of these days, and we'll get to get into his head here. So it's been the Saturday special. Never know what's going to happen on the Saturday special, but tune in next week. Hopefully we'll be here, and are we ready? Yeah, okay, good, thanks. So see you next week.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, here's Fox News.
Metzler, another deadly day in Iraq. At least 43 people killed, 91 others wounded in bombings targeting Shiites in central Baghdad.
There were three car bomb attacks in the center of Baghdad on Saturday. There were parked cars and they blew up in a mainly Shiite area of the city. It's an area that was packed with vendors. It's a place where fruits and vegetables are sold, so there was a big crowd.
Fox's Steve Harrigan in Baghdad. In his weekly radio address, President Bush talked about this week's summit in Jordan with Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and what he needs to stop the sectarian violence in Iraq.
The Prime Minister wants to show the people who elected him that he's willing to make the hard decisions necessary to provide security. To do that, he needs larger and more capable Iraqi forces under his control, and he needs them quickly.
An evangelical minister delivering today's Democratic radio response, the Reverend Jim Wallace, is nonpartisan and urged lawmakers of both parties to work together.
For too long, we have had a politics of blame and fear, while America is eager for a politics of solutions and hope.
Wallace, the author of the bestseller God's Politics, 11 deaths blamed on a powerful storm system that dumped at least a foot of snow in some Midwestern states, icing up roads from Texas to Michigan. Four residents of a Peoria nursing home injured when heavy snow caused a partial roof collapse. Millions losing electricity in the Midwest.
We've had 12 to 15 inches of snow in parts of our territory, and basically we've poured in resources. We have more linemen and other workers on the streets trying to get people back on than at any other time, I think, in our history.
Susan Gallagher of the Illinois-based power company Ameren, the storm's strong winds also causing outages in the north. Northeast. One Albany area man killed when a tree crashed into his bedroom. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Wanna learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
And fortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. With your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
An ailing Fidel Castro, a no-show.
Viva la Revolución Cubana!
Thousands turned out in Havana today anyway for a parade marking the dictator's 80th birthday. Castro's younger brother Raul, the country's acting president, addressing the crowd in his absence. Fidel Castro hasn't been seen in public since undergoing abdominal surgery back in July. The plot thickens in the probe of a poisoned former KGB colonel who died last week in London.
There is a whole new trail for investigators to follow in the London radiation poisoning case.
Italian professor Mario Scaramella, one of the last people to have met with Alexander Litvinenko before he became ill and ultimately died, has tested positive for having significant amounts of polonium-210 in his system, though he has so far not shown any signs of radiation sickness. Meanwhile, the three British Airways planes that had flown London-Moscow routes in the last 6 weeks or so and had shown traces of polonium have been given the all clear, and the planes that Scaramella traveled on recently have also been deemed safe for use. In London, Amy Kellogg, Fox News Radio.
The clock is ticking in a Maryland flag flap.
The state of Maryland ordering a Korean War veteran to take down his American flags. 73-year-old Leo Bessenhofer set out to fly 50 American flags along an Interstate 97 overpass. Leo says Old Glory is inspiring, but the state says it's a traffic hazard. He has until Monday to take them down. If he doesn't, the state says they will. Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
Socialite Paris Hilton, a no-show for Monday's Billboard Awards in Las Vegas. She didn't like the jokes written for her, felt they ridiculed her friends, which they probably did. No doubt there was a mention of Britney Spears and underwear in the same sentence. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, December 2nd, 2006. It looks like today you can expect highs to reach around 65 degrees. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows near 40 degrees and winds light and variable. Tomorrow will be mainly sunny with highs around 66 degrees. Tomorrow night, clear with lows around 42 degrees. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for this evening, northeast winds 5 knots with wind waves 1 foot and a northwest swell 2 to 5 feet at 12 seconds. The temperature here at the studio is 66 degrees, and it's time for Perspectives with your host, Donald Davidson, and Dr. Biles right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I'll be your co-host, and joining me will be Dr. David Biles in just a moment, and his very special guest is Dr. Blaylock. Let's see.